By the way, I just bought that Rodecaster, and I don't know how to use it. And then it turns out that I'm going to go with the Stans Podcast Studios to do my podcast. And then, so all the equipment that I bought, like, imagine I bought all of this, and then now I'm, like, just not using it. So it's just going to sit at home and collect dust. But
so you have a whole podcast studio with equipment, and that just sits there?
Yeah, I built a podcast. So my podcast is going to be called Are You the Drama? Because, like, you know, on stage I do the thing with the GoPro, and I ask people what their drama is, and that's how I get all my crowd work clips, because I don't want to, like, other comedians, they disparage crowd work so much, and they're like, oh, crowd work comedian. I'm like, well, I kind of am one of those, but I limit it to 10 minutes of my set, and then I usually go over by 10 minutes, and then people get value, you know, so I'm still doing a full hour. But yeah, so my podcast is going to be called Are You the Drama? And people are going to be able to give me their drama. And then I'm just going to sit there with another comedian, or like it'd be like us just sitting there, and then we just go over their drama that they send in. And that's going to be the podcast. And I built a studio within my apartment in New York City, and then I bought all the equipment, and I've just been procrastinating. And then the Stand in New York, they're like, we're building studios for comedians. So they actually are, they took a picture of my studio, and they're recreating it in their studio.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, a little, so now that area is just, it's just my favorite sitting area in my apartment. It's just got two leather chairs and an ottoman, and
you're just calling friends to come over and tell you about their problems in the space.
Yeah. Well, like, can we do?
I can't. I'm really comfortable, but if there's something missing.
Yeah. Can we do an unrecorded podcast?
I just want to practice my therapy.
Yeah. Have you done that with people? Like, have you ever just had a really good conversation? Like, last night we were in the car, and, like, we had such a good conversation. I felt like if that was a podcast, people would have listened to it. But, like, there's so many unrecorded podcasts you have with friends that
you're as far as the crowd work.
Yeah.
And the podcast, I think they're both equally as important. If you're using the crowd work, which you do, as a tool for social media, especially.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's just really engaging content.
Yeah. And I also won't post any crowd work that I don't go, oh, that's special, or that led to like a really good bit that kind of formed out of it. I studied improv and sketch at the UCB. So, like, I always think of things, even stand-up wise, in terms of game. Like, a game is just a premise. But the difference is that when you think about, like, you know how comics, we sit down at coffee shops and we take ourselves seriously. I wrote a bit today, and there's like nothing.
Listen to what I wrote.
Dude, I toiled. I was unhappy, and I wrote this thing to make people happy. And I just, like, when I studied, it was Louis C.K. that told me to go study at the UCB, and I studied sketch and improv. I took all their things. And it's because I used to be Louis' opener on the road, like, when he was doing clubs, and I've opened for him recently. And
hello, we just cut out a lot of conversation about Louis C.K., but then had a lot of fun talking about how we cut it. So this is us not talking about Louis, but talking about cutting him out of the podcast.
Yeah, because we're two people that don't want to upset any viewers on one side or the other.
Enjoy the rest of the episode.
Yeah, enjoy the rest of the episode. You just missed 10 minutes.
Now you can cut that, put it back at the before this.
Yeah, we did it. So anyway, all right, so where I was at was that, so, like, stand-ups, we go, like, premise, so it's a premise, and then you have your setup, punchline, tag, 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 right?
Yeah.
And improv just has something called game, which is, like, you figure out the fun game, and then you heighten it, and you keep heightening it. And I, even when I write, like, set a punchline, tag, 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 my structure to it is still, I think of it in terms of game, because in game, you're not sitting in a coffee shop going, like, what's deep and funny about this? Like, what will the comics in the back of the room think?
Back you in the coffee shop.
Yeah.
I feel safe here now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember the coffee shop. I thought
you were going to say this makes me feel weirder than the Louis conversation.
No, it's like I found my happy place. I'm like, okay, I'm remembering.
We're back in the coffee shop. But, like,
we're self-important. We have jokes. Listen to what I wrote.
Yeah. So now we're back. But, like, so game is...
Waitress? Can I get a chai?
Yeah. Can I get a matcha? I've never had a chai or a matcha. But
do you have any sugar-free chai? No, I don't.
Dude, I've oh my god. Oh, wait, hold on. But like the whole thing about game is that instead of trying to figure out what the brilliant premise is, you go find the fun. Not even find the funny, you just go, what's fun here? And so with crowd work, I'm always listening for like what's fun here. And that's the only thing that I care about. I'm not even trying to be funny. I'm like, if I can find the fun thing, then I can play a game. And I never want to play a game against the audience. I want to play it with them. Like, so they don't feel picked on. They feel like, oh, I'm playing a fun game with them about their problem.
You know, here's one thing I noticed too, is you do this and you ask people for their drama and they respond. And people get dark with you, man.
Oh, they
and like, and you, I think your character on stage is very fun.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And you, in general, you just the way you come on. So especially when they put this real and this real draw, it feels extra dark because you have this wholesome reaction to it of like,
yeah,
I'm gonna make fun of this, but also like that's fucked up.
Yeah, I'm Sunny. So the juxtaposition is the first drama ever. So it's all started. It was the day after Thanksgiving. It was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And this Wisconsin gal, I was like, does anybody have any Thanksgiving drama? That's how it all started. And I took my GoPro out and I wasn't even, first of all, I wanted to hide the GoPro. And then just immediately somebody said something. I was like, did you just say that? And like, I just put it right in their face. Like you didn't just say that to this room. You said it to the internet. But this lady, she goes, yeah, you know, yeah, I had a little bit of Thanksgiving drama. You know, so I had this boyfriend and he was, let's say, you know, not so good. And so then I broke up with him, but then it was the night before Thanksgiving. So I invited him to Thanksgiving, you know, cause that'd be mean if I didn't, it'd be rude if I didn't invite him. And then, you know, let's say at Thanksgiving, he had a couple beers, a couple of whiskeys and he was being, you know, not so good. So as a family, we had a meeting and we locked him in the shed. That was the first drama I ever had. And it's a clip on my Instagram called Locked in the Shed.
Was he still there?
No, so that's what that was my first question. I go, just for like legal reasons. I go, is he still in the shed? And
for legal reasons.
And she goes, no, we let him out, and we let him out under the condition that he'd get a bus ticket back to Ohio. And I was like, wait, so he was in a shed, and now he's on a bus? Like, which is worse? And I did
the shed.
Yeah, the shed. The shed is definitely worse than
put me on a bus. They're lucky they let him out, like with an ultimatum.
Yeah,
with an ultimatum.
With an ultimatum.
We let you out. If
and these were like, keep in mind, yeah, you know, Wisconsin was the home of Ed Gein and Jeffrey Dahmer. So but it was so cute. Oh, you know, so we put him in the shed, and dude, the it was so many clips of in the shed that it was in the shed part four, part five, like this just kept going on. And then yeah, a friend called me and goes, dude, what's your drama needs to be your like your thing.
Is it on your socials? What's your social handle?
My social is at Pete Lee. It's my name three times. Yeah. I couldn't get Pete Lee.
Or Pete Lee.
Yeah, or Pete Lee. I got Pete Lee.
Did you try Pete Lee?
No, but everyone. Like
Pete Lee.
So, like, I can't like a bikini picture because, you know, it says, like, liked by this account, and this one. If I like a bikini pic, it only says like by Pete Lee. It just makes it look like a creep. And they're like female comedians that I'm friends with.
It's also branding. Like, they see your name. Now they see it three times every time they see it.
Yeah.
That's, like, really good brand. You're just putting your name in their
head. It's good branding, but, like,
Pete Lee. Oh, you said it three. It's like Beetlejuice. Yeah.
But we all know a female comic that like that you're friends with, that you care about, that has like a whole photo carousel full of things, but then there's one hot bikini pic within there, you know, because she's also got to get you to her tour card at the end of it. And then I've liked it and I'm like, ah, crap. And the picture that comes up the picture that comes up on everyone's feed is the bikini pic, and it says like by Pete Lee. And I'm like, no, I like the tour card. I did like the bikini pic, but
I mean, I like that one too. I did like that one too.
Yeah, I'm like, I am not a problematic headliner. I am kind to people. I'm considerate. I don't know. Cheers. Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers. But yeah, we got out of that one.
Spruced up my soda water with
Orange
juice.
So I do that when I go to diners. I order a half club soda, half orange juice. And in New York, they call it an Orangina, which is that is the type of drink that they sell.
I'm a Gina is what you're saying.
Or you're a Gina.
I'm a Gina. Yeah. I'll take it.
If you were.
This is way less than half. This is like a splash. I'm like, it's. I don't want to, as much sugar. That's
a splash of orange juice.
Yeah, and then I have a couple more slices.
Yeah. This is the sangria like of non-alcoholic stuff. Gina. Do you drink alcohol?
Not often.
Not often.
Not anymore. I don't. Every once in a while. And like, yeah. I'll get a little tipsy on New Year's Eve from champagne, but you hardly, you're going to find me drunk anymore.
Yeah.
I don't like the feeling. I don't feel in control of myself a little bit.
Yeah. You'll hardly find me sober. And
I smoke, but
yeah, I don't smoke. I used to smoke weed and, but now I don't know. I went through a bunch of stuff last year and I upped my whiskey intake and it's really funny because,
I've hit times, Pete, where I have said to myself, I need to start drinking more. Mm-hmm. I should start I drink so little. I'm like, drink more, but then I can't smoke. And cause then the mixing them for me is not a good idea.
Things get weird.
They get spinny and weird and I don't want to do anything that makes me not want to smoke, you know?
Yeah. It's weird that, so I stopped smoking. I don't know. I probably take like a couple hits of a joint once or twice a month, you know? And it's usually that I know that I'll do like.
Does your mother know?
Does my mother know? Oh, my mom knows. I have this belief that all of our stuff is going to come out on the internet. Like, literally, our phones are going to be hacked, and everybody's going to know. So I've just been slowly telling everyone all my secrets. And like at Thanksgiving, I told that day,
Sierra.
I don't know if I can.
I mean, I'll probably be. There'll be a couple hurt feelings.
Yeah,
but I don't think I'm putting anything out there that's gonna like if somebody said these are all of your text messages, mm-hmm. and this is all your messages, like are you fucked a little bit,
you know,
you're hurting a couple people's feelings, but that nobody's gonna cancel you.
I think it's gonna come in waves and you just don't want to be in the first wave because everybody is gonna be shocked by the first wave, and then by the fifth wave when all the people stuff comes up, people are like, okay, so we all talk like that, or all right, we've all done drugs, or we've all oh my god, like we've all done whatever. And I think it's gonna be so overwhelming that everybody's gonna be like, okay. But I do think it's going to be something because they say that Obama said that society can only change 2% at a time. And in COVID, it changed like 12%. Wow. It messed us up. And I think that if you really wanted to upset the apple cart of American culture, you just release all of our shit. And that's going to change everything.
Turn us on each other.
Yeah, it's going to turn us on each other. But then I think it's actually going to bond us. You know, like there's comedy and tragedy in Shakespeare. And like in tragedy, the whole community is torn apart. Yeah. I think that's going to be done to us in the effort to make it tragic. I actually think it's going to bond us together to go like, oh, we're all fucked up. So this is fine. And cyber terrorists, fuck with us. Make me in the first wave, by the way. I've been slowly just telling everybody all my secrets. Like my family knows, they know everything that I've done and whatever.
I have a lot of text conversations that end with, man, if this conversation ever gets released, we are in. But it's just not like there's nothing racist or, you know, hate. There's no hate speech. No, any real hate. You know what I mean?
It's
we just talk a lot of shit sometimes, or like,
yeah,
there's probably a couple not working comics who would not like to hear what's been texted on my phone.
Probably.
Or maybe they do.
I mean, or
you know what? Let's release the text ourselves.
Let's release them. I have a friend in entertainment.
Let's start the trend, man.
Do you know how when somebody sends a text and they unsend it? Like on the iPhone, it makes a sound. It goes, and it blows up and goes away. I have a friend who is prominent in entertainment. Will send me just the worst words that you can say, and then like, and I'll open it up and it'll say red, and then it goes away. And I think first of all, I don't like those words. I don't think they're funny. But the idea of sending the worst word and then like a tennis ball noise and then it goes away is very funny to me. But I don't
disappears.
Think
it's gone now.
But also, can I say this? I'm not the one sending it. I'm a recipient.
So I'm a laugher. Fuck the ice bath challenge. Release the text challenge.
Yeah.
Release the text. We demand to see your private messages.
I don't know. I don't think I have anything. I've just been so forthcoming about like anything that could be embarrassing, but I'm just like, yeah, I really think it's coming. Israel has the Pegasus software, and they used to have to call your phone. Then they used to have to text it. Then they used to have to ping it, and now they don't even have to ping it, and they can get it in every single thing. And
they can just get in any everybody's, like nothing is.
Yeah, and I think that that's, if they have that, then other people have other things, and I think everybody's phone is going to work. I think we're screwed, but I think this is going to be the most human that we are, that people go, oh, so like, wait, do you remember the Coldplay couple that they were having an affair? Like, by the way, who cares? They're having like boring middle-aged sex, and like everybody's, oh, I'm up in arms. Like there are people having affairs, talking to their mistress, going, can you believe these two?
Also,
like,
can you imagine that's how your divorce happens?
Oh yeah,
how funny is that?
That's funny. And then that lady went
a little bit of karma, I guess.
A little bit of karma. Also, isn't that a marriage you needed to get out of anyway? Probably.
I wonder if they date. I didn't follow up on that. Did they stay together, Pete Lee?
No, they didn't. But Oprah did. So apparently, both of them had like started their divorces. You know how Oprah has the podcast with the green mics, and I follow Oprah on social media.
Okay.
And Oprah interviewed the lady of the Coldplay thing, and then she kind of like told all, and it did damage them, but they were already like mid split, but then they were like, dude, we have kids, and like our kids had to go through this.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel bad about, is that the people, we live in kind of like a headhunter society where, people that go after people for social justice or for justice, like a headhunter society goes to the, like, so imagine you have an enemy tribe, you go to the enemy tribe and you come back with the head, and then you're the hero that cut off the head of the bad person. Right. And, the bad person is just in the other tribe, and, but they're bad. And then you get elevated in your tribe. But now we have people like the Coldplay people that people will expose them and come back with their heads, and they're like, ah, and then they get elevated with their status or whatever their social media is, or just like, and they take those people down. But what they forget is that those are people, and you're still a bad person for doing that. Like it also wasn't your job to cut their head off, you know? And, it didn't, in my opinion, it doesn't do anything good for society. All it does is it introduses more hate.
Yeah, and like clicks out of it, man. Yeah. Somebody made money off of releasing that.
Somebody made money off of it.
Social media views.
Like, and I think our society right now is more hateful than the Middle Ages. And I say that cause I haven't been there, but dude, imagine like it could be, Mike Kaplan has a bit about on YouTube. There's the key of C, and, you remember when there used to be downvotes and upvotes? There was like over 1 million downvotes on the key of C, and there were hate comments like fuck the key of C. And I'm like, dude, I can't believe how many people are so hateful like in our society. I think like, I don't know. My whole thing is, and maybe people will disagree with me for being loving to, you know, people that I should be hateful. I get that all the time. People are like, I can't believe you're even loving people that we should be hateful to. And I'm like, I don't think living your life right involves being hateful towards anybody. You know, I don't know. That's my thing. But so when people go after the Coldplay couple, I'm always like, well, what about them? What about their kids? Like, also their sex was probably pretty boring. I don't know, but that's my whole,
is it even worth it?
I dropped acid and I spent a day with God, I think. And, he doesn't want to be called that. That's what I always say. But, and by the way, it was probably a figment of my imagination, but, yeah, God's whole point was like, dude, be more loving than hateful.
Have you done a lot of hallucinogenics?
Oh, I love them. Yeah. I've only done acid once. That was the God day, but I've taken a lot of mushrooms and I love
acid them. Was always much stronger for me. That was,
yeah.
Yeah.
Acid.
It's been decades since I've touched that stuff. So.
I've only done it once. And it's funny. Like that's a drug. Like there's some drugs where you do it and you're like, I want to do this the next day. Acid's like, I did it. I don't know if I want to do this for another 2 years.
It was definitely a big part of my late teens, early 20s.
Okay.
As far as that goes. And then maybe mid 20s. And I had some stuff, and I haven't done it in a long time. And I hit a point about a year and a half ago, I was like, maybe I need to do this. Maybe I feel like all the good things that it did in my mind is maybe like just life has like run it out, you know, like just a little, just a, and like I was trying to, like I was dealing with some shit and I was like, it's like I wanted to go on like a meditational, like on a psychedelic journey to try to deal with my shit for a minute. So I started with like ketamine. My goal was to work my way up to LSD, and I did like a ketamine thing, like got it with somebody for a prescription, and then I did mushrooms, and like, and then like that guy got stuck in my head a little bit, like over analyzing every little, and I never made it to the acid, which I so I never.
I don't know, like I highly recommend mushrooms to people. Ketamine in the smallest dose, like, because the ketamine, like the way that I put it is, when I've done ketamine, it's the most on drugs that I've ever been. And I've done ketamine therapy too, to help me like access a lot of the stuff that I needed to deal with in the last year. So I highly recommend ketamine. It is a horse tranquilizer. So do it in small amounts.
Small amounts.
Small amounts. I also recommend that if people
want... It was like a guided thing with like, it was, it was like a couch and an audio guide, like, you know, for this specific journey thing.
I mean, when I took LSD, I had a guide. It was God. And
that's a little different, for sure.
But mushrooms, like I have a lot of friends that go, man, I don't do drugs. And I'm like, you know, I think it would add your life to try mushrooms and like microdose them. It puts a lens over your brain of just love and understanding. And like, I even think that if a couple is having like really bad problems, maybe not do mushrooms together even, but like it will literally put a lens over your brain of like, oh man, maybe this is what my wife is going through. It puts empathy. It's like an injection of empathy. It is a rad party drug too, but it also is more, I don't know, like I really think that it helps you understand life and people. And
I wish everybody would take LSD one time, even if a tiny amount, at like 18 or 21 or 30 or somewhere around that developmental.
I took it at 47 for the first time, and I didn't do any drugs until I was like 45.
Good for you.
And I
got them out of my system early.
Yeah. And I've had people go like, well, you're old. And what about your heart? And what about this? And I'm like, well, I never take very much. Like I kind of microdose anything.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
That's okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, but I'm a believer that I think really like I went through a lot of stuff last year, and I believe that part of my healing was that. And I'm going to say something that, goes contrary to, so like there, you know, the program people, I love the program people. And I really feel like it's really helped a lot of people that I love. But a lot of people go, oh my God, like whiskey and cocaine almost killed me. And I will say this, when I was going through my divorce and my house burning down, and I saved a guy's life on the sidewalk and I went to jail and I had a trial and I was exonerated, I will say this, I think whiskey and cocaine saved my life. Like I'm not even kidding. I didn't do too much of any of it, contrary to the rumors that I've heard about myself, which I think, dude, rumors about yourself are hilarious. Cause I'm like, I'm the only eyewitness to my life and I know what happened, but, a little pinch here and there, like and that's the difference though, is that I don't have an addictive personality. I do have control of that. And the program is for people that do have that. And it saved some of my best friends' lives. But for me, ironically, I will say, like, dude, I have so much gratitude for whiskey and drugs. Like, I literally am like, it was a medicine and I used it in appropriate times throughout the last year. And it really fucking helped me. And not everybody can say that, but like, and I'm not just trying to be ironic or counter to that, but like,
it's so funny that you put this with whiskey and cocaine.
Yeah.
Like, because that's new. Those usually aren't the drugs that people are like, this shit saved my life, man.
Yeah. And so many people go, oh, it makes you avoid your problems. Oh my God. Like I had done like a little bit of coke and then really dove deep into stuff and like had understanding for it. And I never avoided anything with it. It like really helped me, almost like ketamine therapy, like with myself, like go.
You still do cocaine sometimes?
Every once in a while, yeah. I don't.
How often?
Probably like once a month.
Oh, okay.
Once a month, maybe more than that. if I'm around fun people. But
but you're not afraid to at this point.
No, well, and people, everybody always goes, but what about fentanyl?
So you've probably been around it. You've probably been around it. I mean, if you're just in the situation where it comes out now, and you happen to, were you presented with the opportunity? I imagine you probably were presented with the opportunity or aware it was going on before you started doing it.
Yeah, and I'm also 45 years old. Around it a lot, and I don't do it. And also usually have some. Like,
do you remember the first day where you said, you know what, fuck it, let me try it?
Yeah, I do. Okay.
I
was dating this girl in New York City, and she was like I was so anti-cocaine. Like, so anti-cocaine.
I love that this started with I was dating this girl.
It was New Year's Eve, and then I remember she was like, I'm going to do some coke. Do you want to do some? And I remember she was so hot that I was like, okay. And you remember, like, all the peer pressure videos in high school where it's like the cool jock comes up to the girl like, hey, you want some? It was literally the hottest girl that I ever dated that was like, do you want cocaine? I was like, yes. Like all of my values have gone by the wayside. And and she, I remember she was like, well, only do a little. And she was like, first of all, because like I've never introduced anybody to it because I don't know if they have an addictive personality. And like,
Yes.
And like, first of all, like I felt the pull of it, but it just doesn't, it's not there for me. It also, coke is a thing that you can be physically addicted to, and physically you can quit it in 2 days with water, Advil, and L-methylfolate. And like, it's literally the easiest drug to quit. Like, it's the opposite of heroin. I've never done heroin or anything like that, or opiates. I don't do them, but
I quit that easier than nicotine.
But the emotional draw of coke is what gets people in an addictive cycle. And I, for whatever thing that is, I'll go, yeah, I did it. But even in an evening, I go, yeah, this feels good, but I don't want to get the bumps.
Do you buy it sometimes? Occasionally.
I mean, I'm not going to say that on a podcast.
Okay, that's fine. Hold on.
I've only found it.
Well, because if this wasn't, what I'm going to say wouldn't pertain to you if you never had it. I can skip it. Let me just say.
Wait, yes. Can I say this? Yes. I'll say this. You know the program, I'm powerless to the drug?
Yes.
I almost always have some, and I don't do it. Like,
okay.
Like for months in a row.
Then that's my question.
Yeah.
Because like, if I have it, when
I don't have any right now.
If I had it, I was going to do it.
Okay.
I wasn't going to bed with cocaine left in the bag.
I'm someone who goes, couple toots, this feels good. I want to make sure I have a full day tomorrow. And so you put it to bed, and then the next day I'm like, well, I have stuff to do, and I want to go to the gym, and I gotta do this, and I gotta do that. I'm not saying that I have
an addictive personality.
Okay. And by the way, that's great. And like, I'm not saying that I haven't done a couple toots and then gone, one more.
Sure.
Like I felt the pull of it. And like, I felt the pull of the next day you wake up and you're like, you know, Metallica, tap your breakfast on a mirror.
Yeah.
I'll say I've done that too. I've definitely done that. But then I go, nah, like I want to have a different day. And, something isn't an altered state if you're in it all the time. Like one of the best altered states that you can be in is just reality. And I also like that. Like, and maybe that's because I have a good life.
That's why I don't like being drunk for me, because I don't feel like I'm in control of myself and what actually is reality. It's a little bit different.
I would say that I drink too often, probably. I'm from Wisconsin. And
well, that's what started me down this road a little. Because when you said, I don't have an addictive personality, I know you drink, and I'm not trying to call you out, buddy.
No, you can.
But I want to challenge that sentence.
You can call me out.
Based off how often I think you drink.
Yeah, and by the way, how often people think I drink. So, like, when I'm in New York, a lot of times I'm not drinking. Or people see my videos. Sometimes on stage it's apple juice, not going to lie. This week it's been whiskey.
Yeah.
It's been great.
You'll do the apple juice thing?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
I'll go.
I've definitely done that. Or tea.
I'm not doing like sober weeks, but like there are just times where I go, I'm like, I don't feel like feeling drunk right now. And, but if I don't have something on stage that looks like a whiskey, people order it for me. And by the way, I do definitely drink too much whiskey. That's why I'm a little chubby right now. But I
you're beautiful, Pete.
But I do drink a decent amount. But then I also don't drink a lot.
Could you quit drinking just like that and be that?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest at this point. Like, so you talk about the mental and the physical. I would probably, if I wanted to go, I wouldn't go cold turkey. I'd do like 3 days of titration and then I could do it.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. Which that's like kind of a real thing, but yeah. You don't want to get the deep tremens.
You would, but if you went cold turkey, you might be there?
No, probably not. Because I don't know, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, I just didn't even think about it, and I didn't drink for 4 days, and okay. I wasn't like,
that's good.
I wasn't shaky or anything like that, but I don't know, there are a couple of hard swallows on this.
I love that you can remember the last time you didn't drink for 4 days.
Yeah.
And you know how many days it was.
Yeah, it was 4 days, but I honestly didn't really think about it at the time, and then I remember going, oh, fuck, oh, that's been since, because it was like the last club date, and then I was at the club, so imagine I drank on Sunday, and then Thursday I had another drink, and I was like, oh, I didn't even realize that.
I never officially quit drinking. I just got tired of being drunk, so I don't, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm about to get in really good shape.
I don't like beer that much.
Yeah.
I mean, but that would be a go-to. Like, if I order a beer at dinner, I'm probably not going to finish it because I'm going to drink it until dinner comes, and I'm probably not going to continue drinking beer once my food's there.
Yeah. I literally go in waves with it. And, like after the house fire, I drink way too much.
Of course.
And I drank for a while, and then I went through,
that's when I'd be like, yeah, dude, why aren't we drinking right now?
Oh, I literally had a joke the night of the fire. I go, I don't know if you guys have ever had your house burned down today, but dry January is over. It was January 7th. And I drank a shit ton. But I don't know, drinking has always been, and maybe I think of addiction differently or whatever, but like, I just know for a fact that like there are times when I do it and then times that I cannot do it. And it's not a problem. And I'm not like itching for it. And I'm not going like, oh man, I wish I had a drink right now.
And I'm not challenging you on vices, man, either.
No, but I'm fascinated by vices. I'm also fascinated by, like, even when I talked about like the program language and my respect for that, a lot of times, like, if, like, so there are going to be people that watch this and they're inundated with the program. Imagine the program language used to be taboo and people didn't believe that. And now that's all they believe. And so even people will listen to me while I'm holding the scotch and they'll go, oh, he's in denial. Well, congratulations. You learned a vocabulary word. Doesn't mean it applies to me, but also maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But I don't know. I'm about to, cause like I'm about 30 pounds too heavy. I'm coming into camp heavy. And I just have this gut feeling that I'm about to do some really fun things in my career and I want to be back around 200 and, you know, for weight reasons, also for whatever, I think I need to go back to celebrating when there's a celebration. But lately I've been doing the Drake lyric, like we drinking every night cause we drinking to my accomplishments. And so I've been doing that, but also like, I don't think the answer for me and probably for a lot of people, the answer to me is not being hard on myself. The answer isn't going like, oh, that time period, I'm going to be mean to myself about it. I go, man, you know what? Like that was a tool and it helped me and it was really fun. And it, like, I don't think that anything you fear is good. I'm going to go, I love whiskey. I'm not really doing it right now. And I'm going to do it sometimes and it's not going to be a problem. Like that's, to me, love is the answer. Like fear is not the fucking answer. That's why I could never do a program. Counting the days since you did the thing. Ugh. Like, and I know I said the 4 days or whatever, but like, but yeah, I don't think I could carry a chip around and do that. I don't ever want to have a period in my life where I can't have a drink and then just know that I won't have quit. One.
Oh yeah, yeah, no.
That's not for me.
Infinites don't help me. Cigarettes, I've had a harder time quitting the second time after the first time.
Yeah, dude, you know what I can't? All right, so
that has lingered longer than it should have.
So Coke I can do and not do. Any other drug I can do and not do. Whiskey, I've done too much, but I know I can do it and not do. You know what I can't fucking not do? Any Twizzlers product, fucking Twizzlers. If I get a bag, you know how you talked about a bag of Coke?
Yeah.
If I get a bag of Twizzlers, I can't go to sleep until it's gone.
That's amazing.
Nibs. So I buy those individual gas station sleeves of them because if I open a bag of Nibs, I have to finish it. And they now only sell the big things at the gas station. Dude, do you know how many? That's like 700 calories of Nibs. Licorice.
Yeah.
And or it's actually probably like 2,000 calories in that big thing. And I, so maybe I do have an addictive personality. I just couldn't even pronounce that because of whiskey. I do have an addictive personality, but it applies to licorice.
Like, I like taking, for long tattoo appointments, I like taking a bag of gummy bears.
Oh, yeah, gummy bears is another one.
It's good, and the sugar helps with the pain, weirdly, and then just having that to chew on. So it's just like a long chew.
Yeah.
Kind of like a...
Do you ever get creative with the gummy bears and you're like, I'm just going to do legs, then I'm going to do torso, then I'm going to do head. Do you ever eat them like that? Where you're like, that makes you feel like a sicko. But I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Fucking. Yeah. It's we have so many labels for things and life is fucking good.
Life is good.
Life is good.
I'm glad you came and drank with us.
Dude, I love you, man.
Yeah.
And next time I come through, I'm going to be shredded and drinking Orangina's. Who knows?
Do you eat? I mean, yeah, you just eat proper. I mean,
I eat like a truck driver.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't eat large quantities of food.
Soda?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Regular?
Yeah, I don't drink diet. That gives you MS. Dude, I did the MS bike ride, and all these lead MS scientists were there. And aspartame. It creates a plaque on your bones and especially like the little holes in your spine. So all your nerves go through those holes and it creates a plaque and it shrinks the holes and it pinches your nerves. And that's why you get numb hands. That's why you go like it's literally the science behind it is usually if you look at somebody that has MS, and by the way, MS is multiple. There are many other forms of it. Yours might not apply, but if you're the most mad at me, it's because you are addicted to diet soda and now your hands are going numb. And so I was doing the MS bike ride and there's all these scientists and I'm biking 150 miles. So for like 10 miles, I bike with these scientists and literally our jerseys are like MS 150 sponsored by Diet Coke. Not kidding. And I go, do you think we're ever going to find a cure? And they go, yeah, well, there's one real good one. Don't fuck with aspartame. I was like, why? And then they described that to me. I've like researched, I've looked it up and I have a friend that has MS. And this person drinks like 5 Diet Pepsis a day and for a while gave it up. The hands started to go not numb because the plaque will recede.
Wow.
And then the person went right back to diet soda. So I don't know. I'm not trying to make this the
no because
the
like
Joe Rogan false science podcast, but
I've recently I know it's really bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that I'm drinking it or zero sugar. As they call it now,
yeah.
You know, fancy it up. But I don't because I have eliminated a lot of sugar. My house, my kids and I, we've eliminated a lot of sugar from our diets. And it's been a few months now.
Yeah.
Very noticeable across everybody. But I don't like that I'm drinking like now it's a zero sugar ginger ale or I'm actually buying like a zero sugar Dr. Pepper, something that's just that I wouldn't even buy Dr. Pepper before, but now I'm drinking diet Dr. Pepper. Like what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
And even like I was drinking a chai in the morning and now I'm drinking coffee with like this zero sugar cinnamon flavored creamer. And like, and it all tastes the same because it all has the same fucking sweetener and it's all terrible for you. And I'm just fucking consuming so much of it. To eliminate sugar, like...
Yeah, and it's a sugar substitute, which does weird chemical things in your body, and then, like, yeah. But, I love dentine gum. That has aspartame in it. That's where I get my aspartame, but I don't chew as much of it.
You'd have to chew so much gum.
You'd have to chew so much gum, but... And honestly, every once in a while, I'll have a Diet Coke. Like if I'm in a comedy club, there's only Diet Coke in the fridge, I'll drink one. It's not bad if you have one every once in a while.
But, I mean, I guess I could just get a... carbonated shin machine at home and drink soda waters if I wanted.
You could, but I don't know. Like I would just watch out for the zero sugar stuff.
What I'm talking about though. Like too,
if it
like,
has like isn't stevia good? I don't even know what stevia is. It's probably
is that better than aspartame? Is that supposed to be more natural?
I don't honestly For the science that I know about aspartame, I don't know anything about stevia or any other ones, but I don't know. But I drink milk. So many friends are like, no, we're the, you know, we get these phrases. We're the only animal that drinks another animal's milk. And I'm like, cool. I'm from Wisconsin. I have strong bones. Dude, I got off milk for like 2 months and then I felt like shit. Dude, I'm back on milk, man. I'm on milk and whiskey.
I guess most animals after a certain age, they stop getting milk.
They stop getting milk, but I don't know. Anybody that I've ever had tell me that they don't drink milk, I'm like, you look like you need some milk. But that's also, I'm from Wisconsin. Like, that's again, like,
I love that that's your excuse for dairy.
Excuse for dairy and whiskey and whatever. Like, it's like, do you know how many 90-year-olds that I know in Wisconsin that have drank a little bit every day? And I don't know. My grandma used to say, speaking of weed, my grandma's one of the reasons why bongs are legal. If you want to go research your court cases, Pete Lee High Times, look that up. She owned a bong shop. She won a case against the federal government. Wow. She is the federal precedent of why it's the tobacco water bong. It's a longer story, but my grandma used to always have a joint. She'd have a whiskey. She'd go, Pater, you never want to be too drunk. You never want to be too sober. You want to stay on a float. And but that's why, like, if you see me drinking whiskey, I'm staying on a float. My tolerance is pretty high, but you'll rarely see me drunk. You'll see me on a float. And but I will have audiences mistake me for being drunk just because of my accent. You know, like I have a bit that I do.
Oh, no, I don't.
I have a bit that I do about it. Like, I'll be stone sober. I'll be drinking apple juice. And they'll be like, the comedian was drunk. And it's just my Wisconsin accent. Like, we mush words together. And but yeah, I think it's the funniest when I get a Yelp review or when the club gets a Yelp review. The comedian was drunk when I was drinking apple juice the whole week.
That's hilarious.
It's funny. Yeah.
That's so funny.
It's really funny.
Again, yeah, I think that accent really just, you sell it well. It's with your character and just who you are and just taking who you are to the stage.
So, yeah. Well, I love you.
I love you, buddy.
Dude.
We'll keep you floating.
I want to stay on a float, but I'm also going
to get you down in Lawrence soon and then get you back out of here.
Just for the people at home, last night in the car ride home, I was like, I want to do your podcast. And thanks for making this happen.
Man, sorry I didn't even. It has been a little less frequent and I've been on myself. I've just been, I don't know, really busy and stuff. So, but yeah. I'm glad we got this done.
No, thanks for including me. I really like it. I appreciate you.
Thanks including me. Fucking Pete Leo. Thank you.
Just drunken gratitude. Or I'm on a float gratitude. But anyway.
All right. Follow Pete Lee at Pete Lee. Anything coming up? You want him to?
Dude, no. It's so funny. People keep going. Like, I post on social media. I'm growing my socials. I've been working on a special. I don't have a buyer for it yet. And I don't know if I just want to put it on YouTube or not. But it's funny. People lately.
Shot?
No, it's not shot, but like the material is there. Imagine since my last special, I've written like 3 hours of material and then brag, but I'm just kind of whittling it down to like what I want to talk about. And definitely like the divorce, fire and jail stuff are in there.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So, and, I don't know. Yeah. It was crazy. Last year was a year that just like, imagine you don't want to grow like that. And then these three giant tragedies happen. They're all PTSD. They happen three in a row. So they're intertwined like headphones thrown in a backpack. And then you add in another set of headphones. That's your childhood shit. And then I had to go through intense psychotherapy with a really great psychiatrist who's also an Afghanistan Marine vet. So it was a combination between like deep unlocking of this stuff, and she works very quickly with also don't be a pussy. And like she literally had like I like that she has the point of view of a Marine, and there's stuff where you really need to go deep and you need to have the therapy talk, and then also sometimes you just need to fucking sack up and not be a pussy. And I like that. And I have people that go, they go, oh man, you know, I'm worried about Pete or whatever, and I'm really am like the best that I've ever been, you know, like even maybe before this stuff, like having unlocked a lot of this. childhood stuff, and I feel better. But people might see me and they're like, oh, he's drinking, and so he's not good. I feel good.
No, you're great. And I had a lot of comics come through and watch the show, too, the back of the room. Oh, and like
that means a lot to me.
They're a lot. And, you know, they're like, it's like school for them. I mean, it's so good.
I appreciate it. And also, like, dude, I'm so lucky. Like, I can't believe that my brain thinks of this stuff. And like, I mean, I really like learned for a long time. And now I feel like I'm reaping the benefit of being able to have fun doing it, like really having fun. And I also like, I'm thankful to people like you that let me come through and have the carte blanche to like try and fail. And I'm always staying on top of it and making sure it's a good show. But like, you know, you'll see during the show, there'll be times where I go, ah, that one sucked. And you guys agreed upon it. And, you know, if there's comedy and tragedy, everybody's torn apart, and comedy is when people come together. Dude, if you have a big stinker of a joke and everybody comes together on, we hated that, that's comedy too. They still came together. But I appreciate you, man. And thanks for letting me play at your club.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
Pete, thank you for for coming.
Thank you.
Follow Pete Lee, the Comedy Club at the Comedy Club KC, and go check out our new club in Lawrence at the Comedy Club LFK. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.